Welcome, everyone. My name is Coley, and I'm so glad you've joined us today for our online service. If you're new or joining us for the first time, welcome and thank you for being with us. Today, we will hear part two of our two-week mini-series, What's the Plan for the Church? This is also a communion weekend, so we encourage you to join us as we celebrate the Lord's table. I'm so glad you're with us today and hope we learn and grow together as a church family. If you missed last weekend's service, you can catch it online or on our app. I want to take this time to thank you so much for your ongoing support and generosity. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tab. You can sign up to give online through either the app or website if you haven't done so already. Thank you again for joining us today. As we kick off this fall, will you join me in praying for our schools and teachers and children? Father, we thank you so much for the gift of education, Father. And we pray that in this season of online learning and classroom learning, that you would be with our school districts, all of our teachers, all of our children, and all of our parents. Would you bless them today? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's worship, CA.
He rules with power, he reigns in victory. every tribe and every tongue bow down in worship, declaring you are Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. You alone are worthy, to you we will sing, and all our praise, our hands we raise to you, again. In every tribe and every tongue will bow down in worship, declaring you are Lord of Lords.
You are
the King of Kings. Oh, you alone are worthy, to you we will sing.
God is a God of every tribe, of every tongue, of every nation. So I want to sing this bridge in Korean like this.
할 수 없네 주의 은혜 내 죄 위한 주 십자가 다 할 수
My name is Albert, and great to worship with you today. Thank you to Jacob and the team for leading us. Well, as Tom shared in his message last weekend, we have been exploring options for an outdoor in-person weekend service to go along with our current online experience. Well, I'm excited to let you know that we have found a venue. We will be gathering for an outdoor service on Saturday evening starting September 19th at Village Christian School nearby in the La Crescenta and Sunland Tahunga area. We are excited to take a step and try an outdoor in-person service with the necessary safety guidelines. We are also so grateful to Village Christian for allowing us this opportunity. We will take RSVPs on a first-come, first-served basis, so stay tuned in the coming week on our CA socials and check your email. We also sent an important survey via email earlier this week to everyone in our database to help us plan, so please fill that out as soon as you can if you haven't already done so. Check your spam box if you haven't seen that email, or go to our webpage listed below to find the survey. Also, the webpage will provide further details such as the service time, along with the FAQ and the safety guidelines in the coming weeks. We will still continue to provide our weekend services online as we understand those that cannot physically attend in person or do not yet feel comfortable attending an outdoor in-person service. This is not an either-or option, and regardless of your choice, we encourage you to worship with us weekly online or in person. I also ask for your prayers as we again are simply taking a step and trying an outdoor in-person service, and we are also doing the best we can with both having an outdoor and online option for our weekend services. Thank you for your support, and I'm so excited to be a part of this church family. And now, we will hear from Tom in this week's sermon.
Hey, everybody, welcome. I am so glad that you've chosen to join us in this time. I am grateful for you today, and I've been praying for our time together. We are on week two in our little mini-series entitled, What is the Plan for the Church? And earlier in the service, Albert already shared the very exciting news about the upcoming weekly outdoor service that's going to be on Saturday evenings at Village Christian School campus. And that option actually is just going to be one of three weekend worship options for us as a church family. The first one, of course, will be online at home with family or roommates that you might live with. The second one is online together at one of our socially distant in-person life groups that worship together in backyards throughout the many neighborhoods in the area. And then we'll be adding this third option, a Saturday evening outdoor in-person, socially distant option at Village Christian School. Then you can select whichever form of gathering would best serve you in this season. So we want to address not only the what of the plan, but also the why of the plan for the church. Recently, I've had a number of pastoral conversations with people, and at the end of those, I kept hearing people say, "Wow, Tom, like, that was really helpful to me, and I wish our whole congregation could have heard our discussion." So by the end of the week, we are going to be emailing out a congregational letter that is going to address four important discipleship themes in this season. The first is God's plan for the church. The second is the principle of unity and diversity of opinions within the life of our congregation. The third is the fear of God, not man. And the fourth is the nature of wisdom. And those are the topics I was covering in those conversations. Last week, we actually talked about the first two. And if you missed that last weekend, please, please, please go back and listen to that message in its entirety. I won't be able to recap it now. This week, we're going to address the last of the two themes, the fear of God and not man, and the nature of wisdom. And then by the end of this coming week, we'll send out the congregational letter that we are asking you to read in its entirety. And as you prepare to do that, as we prepare to come to God's word, let's pray even now as we jump in. So God, I ask now that for all who are hearing my voice, that we would calm our hearts and spirit as we prepare to hear from your word. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you want to say to us, we pray. Lord, those that don't know you, I pray by the end of our time that they would come to know you and place their faith and hope in you, Jesus. Those that do know you, that we would grow in depth of our conviction to identify ourselves with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to know my heart, and not only my heart, but the heart of all of our pastors and elders. I'm speaking on behalf of all of us. We love you, church, and we are so proud of you. We are grateful for each one of you. Whether you're spiritually convinced or unconvinced, we're grateful. In fact, so many times our pastoral team will say to one another and our staff team, "We can't believe that we get to serve such an amazing congregation." And that's true, and it comes from the bottom of our hearts. So now, if you sense some passion in this message, please understand that it's an expression of our deep, humble love for you as the church. Well, as I've mentioned in the past few weeks, I have this phrase that keeps popping up in conversation. People are talking about the fear of God, not man. And sometimes it comes up as a question because someone's maybe heard it somewhere from someone who goes to a different church or something, and they're wondering what it means and what the biblical roots are for it. Other times, it's being said in the context of the person saying that CA should defy the government, like some other congregations that you may have heard about, by gathering indoors without social distancing, and sometimes some congregations even doing it without masks. Now, in public discourse, as well as my conversations, I often see the discussion of what congregations, quote unquote, ought to do. It involves an assumption that two separate issues, one, what the Bible directs us to do, and two, the rights that we have under the U.S. Constitution, end up being conflated as one issue. Now, these are both important. And as we will discuss further, they are distinct and not always aligned issues. On the constitutional front, California's COVID restrictions on churches have been the subject of court challenges, one of which has already made its way all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, in that case, the Supreme Court denied the request of a California church for an emergency order to prevent the state from enforcing the restrictions. That decision was rendered by a divided U.S. Supreme Court with strong dissenting opinions. As you may know, there are now some other cases that are working their way through the court system. And as time goes on, We will have more information about COVID-19 and the relevant public health issues. And we may see state and local governments relaxing these limitations, and or the courts may determine that some of the restrictions are no longer warranted in light of the burden they place on First Amendment rights. For our part, we are calling you to pray for both our government officials who are mandating these temporary restrictions, as well as the judges who will be adjudicating them and evaluating them, to be given godly wisdom to discern what restrictions are genuinely and necessary to protect public health. So now we turn our attention to look at this phrase, we should fear God, not man, not from a constitutional standpoint from this point on, but rather from a biblical standpoint. If someone would say to me, Tom, we should fear God, not man, the answer to that is amen, we agree. But here's the real question and the deeper question. How do we discern what does it mean to fear God and not man in this time, in this season, in this situation? Well, to answer that, we have to humbly and prayerfully dig into the scriptures. Some people stating this phrase point to Acts chapter 4 as their reason for defying the government. And here's what we read in Acts 4 in verse 1 and on. It says this, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests and the captain of the temple guard and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put them in jail until morning. In verse 18, it says, so then they eventually called the apostles back in, and they commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think that God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything that we have seen and heard. And what was the central message of their preaching? Well, here it is from Acts 4, verse 11. They said that Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. And salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Now, let me pause there for a moment. What does Christian Assembly stand for? If I boiled down the totality of our teaching and message to one thing, here is the one thing. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. That's our message. Love it or leave it, believe it or doubt it, take it or hate it, Buddha can't save you, Muhammad can't save you, the S&P 500 can't save you, your favorite politician can't save you, your favorite pastor cannot save you. There is one and only one name under heaven by which you can be saved, Jesus Christ, full period, stop. In fact, by the end of our time, if you have never called out to Jesus to be saved from your sin, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. I want to encourage you, do not place your highest heart or affection anything other than Jesus Christ, because at the end of the day, if you place your highest hopes and faith in someone or something other than Jesus, they will only end up disappointing you and be unable to save you. Jesus and his word is true. His grace is deep. His compassion is unending. His power is complete. He has no equal. He cannot be defeated. As a wise young songwriter named Eileen Walker once wrote, even when the battle rages, you're right next to me. You will never leave. You're the reigning king, she wrote, speaking of Jesus. We can be saved by grace, through faith and not works, but it will result in us doing the good works that he's planned for us long ago, according to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Things like loving our neighbors as ourselves and many more other things. And you might be thinking, well, Tom, this is just kind of pie in the sky theology talk. But in fact, several university studies show what they call the quote-unquote halo effect, which shows that when there is a local church present in the neighborhood, life gets better for everyone in the neighborhood by a number of indicators spanning from everything by mental health indicators getting better, as well as crime prevention getting better, and even the economics in the area improving and more. If you want to change the world, place your faith in Jesus Christ and get involved in the local church. But now let me come back to that phrase that we need to fear God and not man. In context, Peter and John were commanded to no longer speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Thankfully, as of today, no one has commanded the leaders of Christian Assembly Church to no longer teach or speak in the name of Jesus. And you can rest assured that if that happens, we humbly hope and trust that not only the leaders of Christian Assembly Church, but that all Christians will be empowered by God with the courage to kindly and humbly defy that command in obedience to Christ, just as Peter and John did. There's another verse that some people point to on this theme of fearing God and not man, which is whenever Jesus says this: "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." That's from Matthew 10, verse 28. Some mistakenly interpret this verse to apply to how the form of how the church gathers together as a congregation. But in context, Jesus actually says this to his disciples when he sends them out on mission. In context, the mark that Jesus gives us as to whether or not we are fearing God, not man, is not whether or not our gatherings are indoors or outdoors, with a mask or without a mask, socially distant or not socially distant. Instead, here's what he says: "You will know if you're fearing God, not man, by this." He says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." So in context, both in Acts chapter 4 and Matthew 10, we are called to fear God, not man. And the evidence of this is whether we will keep acknowledging Jesus before others. So how are we doing on this, church? Let me ask you. Well, let me encourage you from that my vantage point. For 113 years, every generation of Christian Assembly Church has acknowledged Jesus before others. Today, within the last month, I have heard stories about how you are acknowledging Jesus before men and women, young and old, Democrats and Republicans and independents. You're acknowledging Jesus before government officials and business leaders, before classmates and clients, before family members and friends, neighbors and coworkers in every line of work, to people of every ethnicity, to those who are both near and far throughout the city of Los Angeles and to the far-flung nations of the world. And I want you to hear me say, way to go. Keep it up. Do not be afraid and continue to point people to Jesus. You know, our congregation has not only had the courage to share the gospel with every kind of person, we've done so in every kind of season. During World War I, people from Christian Assembly Church were sharing the gospel. In the 1918 pandemic, the congregation of Christian Assembly Church was sharing the gospel. During the Great Depression, during World War II, during the turmoil of the 60s, the oil crisis of the 70s, during the stock market crash of the 1980s, during Y2K, some of you will remember that whole craze, during the Great Recession, and now in the COVID pandemic, let me encourage you, the people of Christian Assembly Church have continued to acknowledge Jesus before others. You've done so in homes and in the Hollywood Bowl. You've done so in passenger cars and in the Pasadena Civic. You've done so in schools and on Navy submarines under the Pacific Ocean. Yes, that actually happened. You've done so in parks and prisons. You've done so on beaches and in the mountains. You've done so in person and on social media. Now, of course, we're not perfect. But the weight of the evidence is this, is that you indeed are fearing God, not man, based off of all the stories that you have about how you are sharing Jesus courageously with others. So when someone says to me, Tom, we need to fear God, not man, the answer to that is amen. We agree, and we are doing that. Now, let's encourage one another all the more by sharing the ways that we are pointing others to Jesus. Even recently, today I've heard stories of that, which is amazing. Now, in addition to Acts 4 and Matthew 10, what other biblical passages might speak to what it looks like to fear God and not man in this season? Well, let's consider the passage of the Garden of Gethsemane. The officials sent guards to come and to arrest Jesus. If you know the story, Peter probably believed that he was fearing God, not man, because he pulled out his sword and he cut off the ear of one of the guards, one of the officials, with a sword. However, in that case, Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? And by the way, he healed the soldier's ear. Now, maybe Peter thought that Jesus just lacked the courage to fear God and not man, or that Jesus maybe was just being controlled by Caesar. But let me just note for all of us, it was Jesus who stayed awake to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, while Peter had actually fallen asleep rather than praying right before these actions took place. But notice here, Jesus' actions were not born out of cowardice. They were born out of the courage he had to obey his heavenly Father. Fast forward to whenever Jesus stood before Pilate, who was a government official, and he submitted himself to Pilate. Now ask yourself, was that because Jesus was fearing man and not God? Was it because Jesus was being controlled by Caesar rather than God the Father? Well, not according to Jesus. He tells Pilate, Pilate, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Sometimes courageously seeking to obey the Father might be mistakenly judged by onlookers as being motivated by a fear of man. You know, courage might come in an unexpected form these days. Speaking of Christians relating to the government, we are told this in Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And for those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. So then, for many Christians, they choose to be subject to the governing authorities, not because they quote-unquote fear man, but because they are seeking to obey what God has instituted. So then, naturally, the question arises, does this mean that under no circumstances should a Christian ever defy a government official? Well, Jesus allowed Scripture to interpret Scripture. We see that in Matthew 4, verses 5 to 7, that you can read on your own. So we must do the same. For example, in Daniel chapter 3, as well as Daniel chapter 6, we have examples of faithful people humbly defying the government's direct command to deny their faith in God. And in both cases, in the course of events, God vindicated those individuals. By seeking to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, it seems that we are to seek to comply with government officials, with the exception of times of direct commands to deny our faith in God. Now, it is quite possible that different congregations may arrive at different thresholds upon which they believe that the government official is ordering them to deny their faith. We are not giving this message as any commentary on any other Christian congregation's actions. Instead, we, and I'm speaking on behalf of the pastoral management team and the church council, who is our elders, want you, the people of Christian Assembly Church, to simply stay humble and open-handed towards one another. By seeing that different Christians and even congregations may arrive at different actions on these matters without us degenerating into judging the quality or the strength of another person or even another congregation's faith. Now, all of these things calls for humility and wisdom and prayerful discernment as we rightly look at God's word. And that brings us to the nature of wisdom. Part of the plan for the church is to ask this question: how do we live wisely in these times? Now, in Jesus' day, John the Baptist was known for fasting, and some people criticized him, claiming that he must be possessed by a demon because of how much he fasted. Well, Jesus, the Son of Man, came feasting, and some people then criticized him, dismissing him, saying that he must be a glutton and a friend to tax collectors and other sinners. Then Jesus goes on and says this interesting line. He says, "But wisdom is to be shown right by its results." Now notice here, people saw differences between Jesus and John the Baptist, and they could have assumed that they must then be opponents. But Jesus and John the Baptist were never opposed to one another. Yes, on the surface, they chose different actions. One came fasting, the other came feasting. They had what we could call a diversity in their methods, and yet both of them resulted in positive results for the kingdom of God. Time would reveal that both were walking by faith in obedience to God. So therefore, creating an either-or option is really creating a false dichotomy that isn't in the text. Pitting them against one another is unhelpful, and it's not wise. Likewise, let us recognize that different Christian congregations may respond differently in this season. Wisdom will be shown by what results. And so, what does that then mean? Who knows? Like John the Baptist and Jesus, maybe there's more than one way to be faithful to God in this season. So instead of pitting people against each other or pitting one congregation against another, let us allow wisdom to be shown to be right by its results in time. And let us maintain a spirit of humility. And in the meantime, let us continue to pray for one another and all the Christian congregations in the city of Los Angeles and throughout the state and around the country and around the world who are seeking to live faithfully in these times. So what's the call to action? First call to action is this: read the congregational letter that has been unanimously endorsed by the CA Pastoral Management Team and the CA Church Council that we will email out this week in its entirety. It has a lot of scripture in there that you can dig in and prayerfully read through. Check your spam boxes this week if you don't receive it by the end of the week. And we will also post it on our website for ease of access. As you read it, I want to call you to pray for the unity of our church, as well as pray for godly wisdom for all judges and government officials. The second call to action is this, and please hear our humble tone and humble heart. I am asking that you do not attack or yell at or scream at the CA pastors or staff. Now, thankfully, 97% of you do not do this, and I want to say thank you, but there is another 3% of you that I want you to hear and be admonished by what God's word says on this. This is what he says in Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be harmful to you. Here's what we're asking. If you have a question or an idea, of course we want to hear from you. We love you. But we're asking that you would be kind and gracious to the pastoral team. Don't yell at us. Have manners. You know, some of our pastoral team are in a season of groaning. Some of that, they've lost loved ones. Some, they've had friends who have died for different reasons. Some are just walking with members of our congregation through cancer and loss of jobs, and they've experienced a lot of vicarious emotional trauma. So we're here to serve you, and we love you. But we want you to remember that we're people too. And remember, we're doing the best that we can. When you want to maybe yell or scream or attack a pastoral team member, maybe that makes you feel good, like you got to vent or get that off your chest. But here's the thing that leaves that pastoral team member groaning. And ultimately what God's word says is that when you make your pastors groan, that's not only harmful to them, but it's harmful ultimately to you. So yes, to the 97% of you who love our pastoral staff, I am humbly asking that you find a way to build them up. Reach out to them and to the pastors and staff and say something like this: hey, listen, what can I do to help you? How can I volunteer to share some of the burden, the load that you're carrying as we build up this church together? Find practical ways to lighten their load by caring for some of the other members of the flock. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Now is the time to step up. Find your way to help our mission together. And I know that many, 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 many of you are doing that. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. To the 3% of you that maybe just feel like you've got a lot of anger and you want to let it loose, we're just asking, would you be kind and gentle, even with our pastors? The third call to action is this: fear God, not man. What does that mean? Well, we already saw. Talk to others about Jesus, even this week. Acknowledge him before others. Share the gospel with them. Invite them to come to a saving faith in Jesus. You know, Acts 4 and Matthew 10 are about mission. So Jesus says, when I send you out on mission, don't be afraid. Speak up about me. The fourth call to action is this: I want to call you, if you have never placed your hope and trust in Jesus, to do so now. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which people must be saved. In fact, I'm going to give you a chance now to commit your life to Christ. And if you do, you can text in or email us to let us know that you've made that decision, and we want to celebrate with you. And so if that's you, maybe now you need to say yes to Jesus. He came because we were all separated from God, and he led his life perfectly sinless, revealing the very nature of God to us through his teaching, but also through his life, his death, and his resurrection. By his death, he paid the penalty for your sin and for my sin as well. And so you can place your hope and your trust in him. And by that, you can be saved by grace through faith as you call out on the name of Jesus, the only name by which you can be saved. And when you do that, you are forgiven of your sin, and God will recreate you anew, making you his masterpiece, according to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, and equipping you for all the good works he's prepared in advance for you to do. And so if that's you, God is calling your name right now. You need to hear me say, now's your time. Come to Christ. You can just say, Jesus, I'm calling out to you. Save me. Make me new. Forgive me of my sin. Reconcile me to God the Father. Give me your Holy Spirit, a love for your word and the church. Teach me how to obey you all the days of my life. And God, let there be a increase of the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control that are the fruit of the Spirit that you want to mark my life with. God, thank you now for saving me this day and forever. May I live placing all of my hope and faith in you, in Jesus' name. Hey, listen, if you gave your life to Jesus Christ right now, maybe the first time, maybe you're coming back to faith, text in, let us know. We'd love to follow up with you. And I just want to celebrate and welcome you into the kingdom of God. Well, now we're going to come to this table of communion. And on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ gathered together his disciples. And he took a loaf of bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took a cup of wine after the meal and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, based upon the shedding of my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." And so now, whether you just gave your life to Jesus Christ or you've done so before, we're just going to have a moment where we're going to ask that you'd allow God to just meet you if there's any sins you need to confess. So God, now, before we receive communion, if there's any sins we need to confess to you, would you bring them to mind now? And so, Lord, we thank you, as your word says, if we're faithful to confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome at this table. You can take a piece of the bread and you can receive that now in Jesus' name. And likewise, you can receive some of the juice, remembering what Christ has done for you. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you now for dying on the cross. Help us identify with you. Help us be committed to you, to follow you this day and all days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, would you even stand to your feet wherever you are as we sing this final song of worship together?
Thank you for being with us today online, especially if this was your first time visiting with us. I want to congratulate you if you made a decision for Christ. We've had several people make commitments to Christ in this season, which is so exciting, and we want you to know that we're praying for you. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or if you would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, please let us know, and we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address or text decision to the number 52855. Don't forget to follow us and stay in the know with our CA Socials and Christian Assembly LA app. Let me close with this benediction from Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.